The Trump administration is testing conversion therapy by medically experimenting on trans people in prisons. Well, that's not good. The Bureau of Prisons is subjecting trans people to conversion therapy and denying them care with the goal of helping them recover. It's trying to prove dangerous conversion practices can work. I'm sure this will go down well. Last Thursday, the Trump admin released its new policy outlining how it will treat trans people in the Bureau of Prisons. Under it, approximately 2,200 trans people held in federal prisons will be denied access to medically necessary health care, subject to constant misgendering by staff, and have all their gender-affirming items, including binders, bras, and makeup, confiscated. Instead, the policy will impose a treatment that targets psychological distress / dysphoria through psychotherapy and psychotropic medication like antidepressants. Can I be, like, really, really glib for a second? The way trans people are already treated in prison is so badly that this probably isn't going to change much. Like, a lot of trans women in prison are already just nonstop. This is probably on the lower end. I'm not saying it's not really bad. I'm just saying, like, things here are already so bad that it's, I don't even know how, like, what percentage badness it's going to be adding. I think that's a violation of human rights. No. Do you think we give a shit about that in our prisons? The UN has already called American prisons, violation of human rights. It's been like that for decades. This is just federal prisons, not state prisons. So thankfully, it doesn't target that many people. Well, it's still a lot of people. But the Trump admin won't just medically and socially detransition trans people en masse. It'll actively try to cure them of their gender dysphoria. Like, prison guards are going to be a part of this? Just, like, everyone is good? It doesn't make any sense. So what, now every single member of the staff at the prison are meant to participate in a social experiment? Who's doing the controls? This is just an invitation to torture trans people. We're not trying to do anything, you know, it's just a way of legalizing abuse, or encouraging abuse, I should say. So they don't believe in reforming prisoners, but they do believe in conversion therapy? No, they don't believe in anything. You haven't been paying attention. This was just pitched to me by chat. The thing that I was going to talk about was, and this is pretty unprecedented, I wouldn't be surprised that this led to a bunch of lawsuits. Canvas immediately revokes trans residents' driver's licenses. Every trans person who has a driver's license in the state of Kansas has until Thursday to hand it over. They need to get a license that reflects their gender at birth. As of Thursday, trans people in Kansas whose driver's licenses do not reflect their sex assigned at birth are breaking the law if they drive. You just can't drive if you're trans right now in Kansas. After the Republican-controlled legislature stripped them of previously valid credentials by overriding Governor Laura Kelly's veto of a sweeping new measure. Jesus Christ, man. Hey, after the midterms, it's very possible the supermajority, well, no, probably not. The Kansas House and legislature is pretty red. Kansas legislature. I wonder if it'd be possible to break their supermajority. Maybe, but it would be really tough. No, Vosh, it very well may flip. That's why they're hammering this through. Kansas is way more purple than you think. Okay, buddy. All right. Let's pitch it down. I'm excited about the midterms, too. But Kansas? All right. How do you tell chat that while our federal government is weak, red states have gone full fascist on trans people? I would say that the federal government is weak, but red states have still gone full fascist on trans people. I suppose that's how I would say that, you know, if you can believe it. The legislature did not include a grace period for updating credentials. Once the law is officially enacted, your current credential will be invalid immediately, and you may be subject to additional penalties if you operate a vehicle without a valid credential. So I guess make sure not to drive today if you're clocky. I don't know what to say. You know, do whatever you need to. You literally just can't drive. Your driver's license has been revoked. Reading news like this is disheartening, not because of what it does, but how literal consideration is given to actual humans. I get they hate trans people, but they should give people at least a month or more to exchange their driver's licenses. Can I flip that on its head? Can I say that actually gives me hope? Time and time again, Republicans fail to do things they want to do on procedural grounds. They're too incompetent. Like, look at the DOJ. They're too incompetent to do the fascism they would otherwise want to do by revoking people's licenses immediately rather than giving people a grace window. You guarantee lawsuits, basically unlosable lawsuits. Like, what do you mean? I was driving across the state and then mid driving, my license became invalid. What are you talking about? You know, it's what it indicates to me is this, like, drooling from the mouth, desperate interest in hurting people that's so, like, bloodthirsty and incompetent that it runs up against, like, a procedural error. You know, it makes it easier to fight them. They're not competent. People were worried it would block trans people from leaving the state, which would be the case if it was given a grace window. People aren't pulled over that often. If a trans person wants to immediately flee the state, You're in Kansas. You could probably just drive out. You're not getting pulled over by the cops every time you drive. I guess, you know, depending on how you look, I don't know. It is a legal technicality. It's just so stupid. There's been a massive departure of trans people from red states to blue states. The shift of red states becoming unlivable shitholes and blue states becoming like queer paradises, basically, is increasing over time. A significant number, probably like, I would not be surprised if in many red states, like obviously the tiny shit ass ones like Kansas, but also big ones like Florida or Texas, probably have lost up to half of their trans populations moving into California, New York, Illinois, Oregon, Washington, whatever else, you know? Governor Kelly's been saddled with this Republican supermajority for most of her tenure as governor. Yeah, I understand that she's not as bad as the people that she has to answer to from the legislature. It's hundreds of thousands. I saw an article on it. 10 to 20% of trans folks in the U.S. have relocated states. God damn. Yeah, look at that. Hello, Aaron. Phew. Over 400,000 trans people have moved states since Trump's election. It's not just trans people. Gay people. Young people. Doctors, literate professionals. Over time, the red states are going to become more and more unlivable because all the real human capital and cultural production is going to be moving to the blue states, you know? It didn't used to be like this. Real brain drain issues. Every non-rightoid, basically. I mean, the average IQ of a conservative in Kansas is probably in mid-80s, I would guess. It's not great. You are legitimately losing some important human capital, getting rid of Democrats. A lot of doctors, teachers, any kind of educator, anyone in a STEM field. You do need farmers, though? Sure, yeah, the 80 IQ Republican farmers can keep their work up. I don't really care. Let the you know, the cattle and the peasantry occupy the state in its entirety. Anytime someone's born blue there, they gotta move. One of three pediatric heart doctors in the entire state of Louisiana fled because of discrimination. Yeah, wasn't this a big story? Yeah, this was a big story. We covered this back when it happened. One of three, man. One of three. The median age in Kansas is around 37 years old, positioning it around the middle compared to other U.S. states. I'm actually surprised. 37, I expected it to be older. Median age by state. Wow, Maine is old. That's pretty decent. So it's only old people in West Virginia because the young people have all left for work and old people retire to Florida. So that makes sense. Maine, New Hampshire, and Vermont, I also think of as like states you retire to. I don't know if that's more of a retirement thing or more of a young people leaving thing. Maine does have a pretty small economy, so I can't really say. Utah is crazy young because Mormons have lots of kids. Texas, I'm guessing Texas and California are relatively young because of immigration. I guarantee you in Texas, the average age of a white person versus a non-white person, very different numbers. Very, very different. Surprisingly young in North Dakota. I have no idea why. I was expecting more of a shift with age between the red and blue states, but I'm not really seeing it in the data, except for West Virginia. And I guess Florida, but that's a retirement thing. Square dancing? Gotcha. Massive oil industry, so lots of 20s to 30s guys working in North Dakota. Really? You think it's just that? Might be. Yeah. North Dakota's super low population. It wouldn't take that much to skew the data downward. Utah being this young is really funny. I'm the same age as the median age in Utah. That's crazy. Let's all move to Alaska. Alaska is relatively young because of people going up there to work. Alaska is a weird state. It's like 60-40 men, women or something. And Hawaii? Probably a big retirement state, I'd imagine. What about Tennessee or North Carolina? You're looking at the same data as me, my friend. Look, can't you infer from the colors? The colors tell you. Utah is lighter because it's lower. Florida's darker because it's higher. You're looking all these states right here of essentially the same color. In fact, these four right here are literally within 0.1. Sorry, I'm listening to the stream while I'm making food. Okay, but you have time to chat. I don't want to be like unnecessarily optimistic given the fact that this is really, really bad, but I would encourage you guys to reflect on, I don't know, the positives here. For one, this is a very incompetently implemented law, you know? This is stupid. This is really, really dumb. And for two, in spite of everything, I really don't think that trans people are being removed from the cultural zeitgeist. I think it's pretty much one and done. It's over. I don't think there's anything that we can do. You know, I like the Republican Party loves to do a revolving door villain strat, you know, where they pick, well, here's your bad guy of the week, here's your bad guy of the week, so on and so forth. Now it's trans people, now it's Somali people, now it's Haitian people, now it's Venezuelan people, whatever else. We progressives, the left, they love to do that, but what does it actually do? How does the needle move? In the long run, it seems like all MAGA is doing is cementing itself as the group that is against the things that are happening, but they can't change the things that are happening. To what extent do you think they're going to try or be able to threaten the safety of trans people en masse, like regardless of what state they're in? I mean, reasonably, right? They can do it, but they can't erase trans people. Like, in the past, even when the government didn't pay that much attention to trans people or gay people or whatever else, the threat of erasure was more of a cultural force, you know? The relative social malignment of gay people in the 1980s was not directly a product of government policy. Government policy supplemented it, but the real force there was cultural. It was the same with the Jews. Like, obviously, the Holocaust was a like legal government, well, legal in the sense that it was implemented through law, was a government program, right? But the only reason that happened in the first place and then was able to happen was because there were civil norms backing it. A society that couldn't tolerate behavior like that would never allow it just because the government authorized it. It's always, you're always acting within the window of allowable social behavior. And these days, gay and trans people are so broadly integrated into our culture, into media, and so on and so forth. I don't think anything's walking that back. The government can say whatever it wants. There are people in government right now who have just openly called all trans people pedophiles. Has anything changed? Yeah, there's been some legal finagling at the edges, but in terms of public opinions, positions, such and such, for the most part, there's not really. I guess to me, the big schism is that in the past, it used to be. The government basically didn't talk about gay or trans people at all, but if you were gay or trans in public, people might just beat you up and kill you, right? I understand that still happens today, but for the most part, it doesn't. We have to be clear about the gains that have been made. It used to be like, no matter where you were in the United States, that was like a pretty likely outcome of any kind of public behavior. Nowadays, even in a lot of red states in the big cities, you can be openly gay or trans and, you know, live your life, right? You may still face discrimination. In fact, probably will, but we need to be clear about the gains that have been made here, right? So you have the difference. The government didn't talk about you that much. The people would beat you up. Nowadays, there are government officials who wake up every day, call you guys, you know, trans people, pedophiles. They say Somalis are invading the country. But you know what? There really isn't that much of a cultural push towards going back to that level of interpersonal violence. Like, there aren't civilian militias going into Somali communities and like doing Tulsa race riot shit, burning down buildings and beating people up. Don't get me wrong, I know there's still violence. I know this stuff still happens to an extent. For instance, there was that big anti-migrant riot that happened in England a year ago, you know? That was a pogrom. But by and large, stuff like that used to be just part of the social fabric, and now it is at the most an outlier. Isn't that weird? You go from government being quiet and the people doing all the violence to people being more or less laissez-faire and the government screeching every day, they're the enemy, they're the enemy, they're destroying the country. Social permissibility is what allows for that behavior. There just isn't much of it right now for open, like Jim Crow style discrimination. Yeah, the UK used to have race riots all the time in the 1980s. And thankfully, they're pretty uncommon now. I know more about the history of American civil rights than I do in the United Kingdom, of course, but like over here in America, you know, for the like the difference between the way the public reacted to the BLM protests versus like the LA race riots, that's it's pretty crazy, you know? I don't want to pretend racism's over. I guess it's more like nobody wants to be the militant arm of bigotry anymore. Everyone wants to go online and like post Trunjacks or whatever, but nobody wants to go outside and beat up a gay or trans person at a club. Everyone's too lazy, I guess. No one wants to do the work. Nobody, we used to do make things in this country. No one wants to go out there and F slur bash anymore. I can't say it because of YouTube, but I'd say it if I was talking to you in person. I get to say it. I can say it. I've sucked dicks. I'm allowed. Thank you. Death camps never had social permissibility. Pretending Nazis weren't going to do death camps is what had social. Wait. Hold on. The death camps that the Nazis did 100% were within the realm of social permissibility. The idea that it was all done without the knowledge or like protection of the German people is a total lie. Everyone knew. They were literally like kidnapping every Jewish guy in Berlin. Like, you know, they knew. Oh yeah, we're just taking them what, to a daycare? No, they knew. They knew. They knew. They knew. 100% they knew. It was a very open secret. We're just a lot less. We trend towards violence a lot less. I think a lot of it's cell phone cameras. It's easier to humanize people. It was done without the explicit knowledge of where they were going and how it was going to be handled. Yeah, but like, they weren't dumb. Oh, we're just going to take every Jewish guy from the country and put them on train cars and send them somewhere you'll never see them again. Also, we're liquidating their property and assets. Like, come on. Yeah, come on. They sold their houses off. They weren't coming back, you know? I feel like it's pretty obvious. People knew. It's true. School shooters are the only ones who go through with the hate now, and they're like completely maligned. ICE isn't really socially permissible, and we know what's happening. ICE operates within the realm of nominal social permissiveness by being law enforcement officers who are nominally going after illegal immigrants, which is the line that a lot of Americans get kind of fuzzy on. I guess what I'm trying to like reaffirm here is that it used to be really, really, really common for just random neighborhood boys to get together, like the boys, you know, to get together and go and just beat up or kill interracial couples, gay people, trans people, cross-dress, there was no artifice of legality there. They would just like, oh, what, we're not having that in our neighborhood. They'd just go and do it. And now that stuff is really, really, really uncommon relative to how it used to be. You know, I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but the reason I'm trying to reaffirm this is because I really do think it's the social fabric, right? What is allowed within that fabric, and the fabric right now doesn't allow for that. So the administration can carve out these legal axes of oppression. They can complain about trans people all they want. I do not think that any of this is going to translate into a broad social normalization of going back to those days. And if they can't do that, they can't get rid of trans people. Not even close. How do you square no one cares about anything and apathy is the great death, and none of this will really work because they're incredibly unpopular, not contradictory? Well, I actually think they work in tandem because people tend not to support things that they find unappetizing or displeasing in practice, right? Like a bunch of Republicans will say they want to deport 20 million people, but then their tummies start to hurt as soon as the actual process of doing that takes place. Like, Republicans' support for Trump's position and behavior on immigration has shifted downwards over the presidency, even though all he's been doing is what he said he was going to do. Unfortunately, like, apathy, total apathy does not mean that you don't have an infinite stomach for suffering. You know, there are huge limits there. Like, for example, and let me tell you about a guy that is really common, okay? Right-wing Zoomer who will post online about how we need 100 million bodies swinging in the breeze in order for America to be an all-white nation. But he's friends with multiple mixed race and non-white people, and if they ever got shit in public, he would defend them. Guarantee you, very common guy. Why? Because online, it's an abstraction, it's a vice signal, it's a representation of your radicalism, of your desire to change the status quo. But in person, you're just like with your buddies. The apathy that prevents them from committing to these positions or really believing in anything doesn't always like relate to the feelings they have interpersonally. They probably feel that way about a lot of gay and trans people, too. I'd be willing to bet a majority of self-described right-wing Zoomers are friends with at least one queer person, because a lot of them are very online, you know? You're very online, you may, oh, maybe he's the good one or whatever. They make a trans friend, that trans friend has low self-esteem, so they hang around with right-wing people, they make jokes, oh, you're a groomer, whatever. But at the end of the day, they play games together, you know? It's weird, but it's also real, and it's always been like that to an extent. It's just that that factor used to be limited to your neighbors. Maybe you were a white racist, but you had a black neighbor who was one of the good ones, so he's cool with you, you know? You're not antagonistic to him. But now, because of the internet, that weird exclusionary behavior and the carve-outs to it can extend to people all around the world. It's like a beautiful, you know, abstract network of social relations that makes it really difficult to move in any direction. We're too empathetic to our neighbors, real life neighbors or online neighbors, to want death for them, but we're so detached from the real world consequences of our beliefs that we'll advocate for mass death in like abstractions. What a big yap stream. What a big yap stream. But you get, I'm not philosophizing here. You get what I mean, right? Those pictures of kids of all races locking arms in our classrooms as kids really made the whole open racism thing pretty odious. Yeah, and also, like, I think that a lot of people who talk about how racist they are online would find it really cringe to get actually mad at a gay or black person in real life. You know what I mean? Like, why would they? Like, I guess I'll put it this way, okay? Can you imagine Nick Fuentes ever just going out on a night on the town and he sees an interracial couple? And then he wants to heckle and harass them and maybe get his guys together to beat them up? Of course not. Why would he ever want to do that? What a ridiculous use of his time. He called people that do that low IQ, and he's right. He's correct. There probably is a pretty considerable IQ difference between the super apathetic, porn addicted, anime loving Nick Fuentes viewer who would never actually do stuff like that in real life but enjoys it as a vice signal online, and the kind of person who would actually go around beating up interracial couples who is probably actually like mentally disabled, you know? The most violent right wingers have always been the most cognitively impaired. In them, you find school shooters, serial killers, people who beat up their partners, you know, cops who are on average faltering mentally, we'll say, you know, that we know what they do with their wives and girlfriends. The violent ones tend to be, yeah, ICE agents. The violent ones tend to be the ones who just aren't that bright. I was in a philosophy class and friendly with a Catholic fascist who nominally advocates for me to be killed for being gay, but he said I'm one of the good ones. That's nice. I think that's nice. How does that square in his head? You guys don't get it. You wouldn't get it. I've met people like that IRL. It's more common than you might think. Listen, the intelligentsia of fascism have always been aware of the fact that their ideology primarily appeals to low IQ people, which is why they carve out exemptions for themselves. Fascist leaders don't want to live a fascist lifestyle. They don't want to live a lifestyle of depersonalization, asceticism, and subservience to the state. They want to live a bohemian lifestyle where they get to enjoy the pleasures of life and spend time around people they care about. Doesn't everybody? They understand that they are selling an ideology to suckers, right? Like, you, dear fascist follower, you must give yourself to the glory of the race and the state. I, on the other hand, will enjoy. And Trump does this. Trump talks about gay and trans people. He's partied with them. He's talked about immigration. He's partied with immigrants. He's partied with black people and brown people and so on. Like, they all want to live the lifestyle they want to live. The ideology they push is kind of immaterial, you know, to them. It's just a way of hooking people. Trump is married to an immigrant. That is true.